Turn with me to the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read the 41st, the 44th verses. The sermon title is Giving in the Heart, Giving in the Heart. Mark 12, 41 through 44. While you're turning to that, I would commend all of you to come out for coming out on this cold day. By the time you get out, it's going to be really warm, and there won't be any ice skating going on, and so you'll be okay. You'll be okay. The 12th chapter, starting with verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which hath cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. There have been very few times in my life as a pastor that finances have not been a matter of great importance. Just be honest with you about that. I went to Illinois to pastor. They were meeting in an old labor union hall. This group of people had gotten together, and they decided that they wanted to begin a Church of God congregation in the city of Pekin, a town of 36,000. And so they eventually bought this old labor union hall. It sat on the corner, and it was a road that that Third Street went down and then made a jog and then went on by, and we sat in that little jog. One day I was in the office there, and a guy missed the jog, and he hit the steps out front. It adjusted a lot of things in that area. It was just a little old building, just a very minimal space. We were paying $330 a month. That was 1980, by the way, $330 a month. When we sold that building, we moved and rented a facility until we could build a new building. And the facility that we rented cost us over $1,000 a month. Now, you talk about sticker shock now. We went from $300 a month to $1,000 a month. Now, there were a few more people than there had been, so that helped. And finally, after we'd purchased land and built a new sanctuary, we paid over $3,000 a month. When I came here in 2001, you folks had no debt, none. Now we have a payment of $12,500 a month now, and we've got our debt way down below $1.3 million. I think it's 1.28 or 9, somewhere through there. And that means we've paid $1 million of principal, by the way, in case you've missed that. Quite an achievement to pay more principal than you have interest. But we've accomplished that. Now, I think we're all very much aware of how much we owe and how much we have to pay. But there are a few other things you may not know. Not counting our daycare, we have 6 full-time salaries and 3 part-time salaries that we pay as a congregation. We're a small business, by the way. As a pastor, I'm very much aware of these factors. Now, I'll just tell you a secret. About 2 years ago, I thought we were going to have to close our daycare down. And it was very troubling to me because that meant about a dozen people who had worked here for over, many of them over 15 years, would have been out of work. Their families would have been affected. Now, that was extremely troubling to me. Just so happened that Jeff Melton gave some great leadership there, and we were able to get beyond that bad time, and we're where we're at now. And not saying that we never have a concern, but I tell you, it's much, much better than what it was. I'm also aware that statistics tell us that 25% of the households in this congregation give 75% of the money. Another 25% of the church's household give 20% of the church's income, which means about 50% of the, which tells us that we have most of our income coming from a very small amount of people. Now, those are just cold, hard facts. That's just the reality of it. I'm also aware, very much aware, of the reasons people say they give or do not give. I know that some people do not give because they feel they cannot afford it. I do understand that. They believe that they just do not have enough to be able to pay a tithe or in some cases give anything at all. Others do not give simply because they do not like how the money's spent. You know, the pastor makes too much money, the pastoral staff's too big, whatever it might be. Some people just have their own particular reasons for not supporting. But there's one thing that we often do not talk about, which I happen to think is the real reason and the real issue for most people. Some people will never consider what I'm about to give you. And because of that, they're walking with a darkened understanding. And many never begin to think that they fail to give because of a heart issue more than a money issue. Now, I know this is not the sermon you wanted on a snowy day. I mean, you really worked to get here, didn't you? You get off on those side roads, and they're still kind of messy. I didn't have to slide down my driveway this morning, even though there's snow on it. Stuck my truck in four-wheel drive, backed out, went 200 feet, and got on the Asheville Highway, which was very, very nice. And it'd have been nicer if I'd given you a sermon that. And I, by the way, I was sitting up here trying to figure out how to do it too. I really was. I was sitting up here thinking, man, I need to preach something different. You know, there's some people here. They never show up. They show up on a day like this. Or there's some new people here and they show up on a day like this and they hear a sermon about giving. Well, folks, if you stick around this congregation long enough, I'm going to do my best to give you the best well-rounded diet that I can. I would rather preach to you about Jesus and about being saved and all of those kinds of things. But for you to grow up in Jesus, you got to hear the rest of the story. See, here is biblical truth for you and for me. Now, a lot of people never, never consider that they fail to give because of their heart. See, giving is not about money. It's about the heart. It might be that a lot of people do not see how they can make it if they were to give. I believe that's a matter of faith or trust in God. Others will say that they do not believe God insists that they tithe, which is often either a lack of understanding or a refusal to see God's truth. And I'm going to leave that up to you and to God. And by the way, you will answer to God for what you've done with everything that you've received in your life. That's just the reality of it. You and I will stand before a living God and we will answer for what we've done with what He's placed in our hands. That is the message of the talents, the five, the two, the one. If you read that account and you see that the real message there is not amounts, it's about you and I being accountable for what God has placed in our hands. In this particular incident that we've read about here in Mark, we get to see this woman, and her heart is absolutely amazing. And I'd like to just consider that for you and I today. So firstly, I would say to you that giving is a matter of the heart. We're not given a lot of the information about this woman's background other than the fact that she was a poor widow. Now, from that statement, I understand that to mean that her husband was dead. Usually, if you're a widow, your husband is dead. So that didn't take a whole lot of research for me to find that out. But just to clarify that, that would mean that in that day there were no governmental programs that she could turn to. And the word poor has an impact that we may not grasp in our day and age as much as they would have in their day and age. The term, the literal meaning of the word is distressed, and it's translated as beggar or poor. So here's a woman that is distressed in her life. She doesn't know where food comes from. She doesn't know where the money to pay for her housing comes from. She doesn't know where she's going to get clothing. She doesn't know any of these things. And she is a distressed woman. Now, she may have gone to the synagogue that day for a very specific reason. She may have gone there that day with the idea of, or could have gone there that day with the idea of getting help, going to the leadership of that synagogue and telling them her situation and asking them if they didn't have a benevolent fund that they could help her with. She might have told them that she needed money to pay her bills. She needed money for food, for clothing, for shelter, for all of those things. But what we're shown is something far, far different. Here is a woman who went to the synagogue with what appears to be a very intent purpose. She decided that she was going there for what she was going to do. She went there with the specific idea of putting her two mites in, all that she had, putting it into the offering. Now, let me tell you how we normally do things in the life of the church. And this is true every congregation across, I think, the world today, at least here in the United States. If we want to take an offering, for a special item, we'll put a picture up. We show people kids starving. Then we tell them we need you to give. And people have their hearts moved because they see this photograph. Or we might tell them the story of old whoever down in Africa who wants to go to Bible college and he cannot afford it and there's no way for him to, but if we would give, we could help. Or we could talk about how we have this individual who is so sick. They're dying, they can't work, their family needs help, and our hearts are moved and we give to meet those needs. Now, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but I want you to note this. When this woman went to the synagogue that day, they did not show her a video about the building program. They did not have to convince her that she needed to give. They did not bring up all the statistics about all the starving children in the Sudan. They didn't have to talk about the famine that was taking place in Ethiopia. They didn't have to bring them to the place of where they showed them how this hospital was being built there in the midst of a country that had very little health care. They didn't have to convince her of anything. She had already been convinced. Her heart desired to give. This woman, who is extremely poor, went to the synagogue not to find out what she could receive, but with the idea of what she could give. What a heart this woman had. Do we not go to church with the idea of what we receive at any given service? Now, see, did you remember what I said a moment ago? I was wanting to preach something else to you. And I'm sure that some of you sat there said something along, you know, now you didn't say it verbally maybe, or maybe you did, you know, said to your spouse, I agree with that. I wish he'd have done something else, you know. But some of you thought that, you know, on this kind of day, why do this? on this kind of day. People made all this effort to be here. On this kind of day, you'd have to deal with that kind of subject. And you were coming because you wanted to hear some stirring songs. Something that would lift your heart. And by the way, I see nothing wrong with that necessarily. But you came because you wanted something. You wanted to see some friends. You wanted to talk to somebody that you hadn't seen all week. You wanted to have the joy and the camaraderie of each other. When I came in this morning, I talked with Scott and Foshi about, he was telling me about how somebody had ran off the road and he was going to help him, and he got a phone call he didn't have to, and his old truck started up, and he was able to do that and all that. And we were giving information to each other, telling each other how our week went, you know, and all those different things. And folks, we came for the needs that we had. Wouldn't it have been great if we'd came with the idea of what we had to give? You know, that brother or sister that is overwhelmed with the issues of life, and we could give something to them. Sometimes it's an arm around the shoulder. Sometimes it's a word spoken, "I've been praying for you." Sometimes it's the idea that we are here to just help each other. I know some of you say, "I don't need help." Well, maybe it would be great if you just came to give God some praise. Now, you don't have to hold your hands up. How many of us got up this morning and looked out the window and saw, "Man, look at that wind. I can't wait to get to church to praise God." I don't think very many of us did that. Some of you may have. I honestly did not do that. I did not do that. I was thinking, "Man, I'm glad it didn't snow anymore. If it had, we'd have had much more stay at home." Yeah. I'm sorry. I always think about that. I want it to snow on Friday night, Saturday morning, clear up Saturday, and be a nice day on Sunday. Because I want you here. And so, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we came in and said, "Man, I wonder what I get to give today. I wonder how I can help. I wonder how I can bless someone. I wonder if I can just give God some praise." See, I don't know why you came here today. You might have done it because you felt like you needed to. You may even came to give God praise. But most of us came to receive something from God. This woman yearned for the opportunity to give to God. It was not a matter of the synagogue needing the money more than she did. She didn't look at it and say, "You know, I've just got two mites, and the synagogue's got a lot more than I do, and they don't need mine." But you see, what happened here was this woman had a heart that desired to give to God. I pray that you and I would grasp this marvelous truth for our own lives today. Can we not love God so much that we just want to give? Can we not just love God so much that we say to ourselves, "I wonder what God has for me to give today." She could have said, "But God doesn't need any of my money." Or she could have said, "I'll give when I get a better income." Or she might have said, "When the kids get through college, or the car's paid for, or I get the house paid off, or when I get my debts cleared, I'll start giving." But instead, she gave at that moment. Her heart would not allow her not to give. Now, giving's always measured by the heart, by the way. I know that we do some, this is the end of the year. I'm beginning the new year at the end of the month, and everybody probably, hopefully, has already received their contribution list of what you gave, because you want to be able to claim it with the IRS. I do too. I don't want to give the government any more money than I have to. I want to give them my share, but I think they take more than my share. And so I look for every break I get. And if you don't, shame on you for not being good stewards with your money. Yeah. And so you see, you're waiting to get up, and you look down, and you look down, and you look down, and look down, and list, and see, yeah, I gave that, I gave that. Yeah, that's the amount, and I'll get to take that off on my taxes and all of those things. But folks, that's not how God measures giving. God measures giving by the heart that you have. Now listen to what Jesus said once again. He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor woman hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Here is the true measurement of giving. Does it demand anything from you? Does it demand anything from you? You're not giving until it hurts. How you give from your excess. See, giving from the excess is giving what you have plenty of. Somebody comes to your door. They say, I'm starving. You say, hang on a minute. I got some potato chips back here. Let me give you some potato chips. Now, folks, if that's all you have, that's wonderful. But if you have, a pot roast on the dinner and on the stove, and you've got all the potatoes and I would give them all the carrots they wanted. Yeah. But you have all that sitting in there waiting for you, and you're going to have plenty, and you give them a bag of potato chips. Friend, you just gave of your excess. You see, giving's measured by your heart. When she gave her gift to God, it demanded a lot. When you give, what does it demand from you? That's a matter of your heart. If you're giving again from the excess, you have not learned how to give with your heart. I read somewhere about a man who was talking about his mother. He'd been raised very poor. His father had died when he was a young boy. There were six kids in the family. And said his mom would bake a pie and said she would cut it into sixes. And somebody said, well, why didn't she cut it into eights? And he said, my mother always said she did not want a piece of pie. Now, you know mom wanted a piece of pie. It's just that she had such love for those kids that sat there. She gained more pleasure in giving to them than she did in receiving for herself. The writer of Proverbs gives us some insight into giving when he writes about what the Message calls the tightwad. I really was interested when I ran across the way the Message translated it. Listen to Proverbs 23:6-8 according to the Message. Don't accept a meal from a tightwad. Don't expect anything special. He'll be as stingy with you as he is with himself. He'll say, eat, drink, but won't mean a word of it. His miserly serving will turn your stomach when you realize the meal's a sham. The person may give you something to eat, but they really do not want to give it to you. Their heart's stingy. I wonder if God ever feels like that about you and me. I thought, by the way, when I put this sermon together, I thought everybody would jump up and down and shout when I was preaching it. I thought they'd just, oh, yeah, amen. Amen, especially that part. You know. Well, your giving would be measured by your heart. And if you're giving simply because you feel that you have to, then know that your gift is nothing more than a sham. That woman went to the synagogue where Jesus saw her giving from her last two farthings, or again, two mites. From what I've read, a mite was the smallest of all coins in that day. And it was worth about 1/20th of a penny. A penny was about what the average person could earn in a day. And she had two of them. Two mites, 2/20. She had 1/10 of a penny. She had those two mites and she gave them both. She gave everything and did not resent it. That's a matter of the heart. Well, giving also reveals the true condition of your heart. This woman's heart was filled with the desire to give. She did not see it as a chore or as a mandatory matter, but she wanted to be a person who gave. This is the type of heart that you and I should have. Listen to what Paul would say about the giving heart out of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And again, this is out of the Message. He says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Why? You know how I've always wanted to do our building fund campaign but never had the nerve to? I wanted to get up one Sunday morning and say, we're having our building campaign on whatever date, building fund campaign on whatever date it is. You guys make up your mind what you want to give. And then each week until that time say, you guys make up your mind what you want to give. Now we're worried about that because we're afraid some of you won't give. You see, a lot of people cannot make up their minds that they really want to give. Or they have made up their minds that they do not want to give. We will decide what we will give. That's just a simple truth. If you want to give, you will. If you do not want to give, you will not. It will not matter what is said about God's word or the needs or anything else. You will give according to your heart. Your giving will reveal what your heart's like toward God. Now, I know that some of you say, well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You've raised your kids. You're older. You got your bills kind of paid off, hopefully. And you're getting ready for one of these days to retire. You got money in the bank and everything's fine and dandy and you have no problems and that life is great and so forth. And I would, by the way, I'd say most of that's true. Most of that's true. I've been blessed beyond measure. But I do remember going to work for $120 a week, bring home. Three kids, one wife. Two cars, one house. Actually, we just had one car for a lot of years. Or a number of years. And I remember writing the $12 check for tithe. Now, $12 is not that much, is it? I mean, you spend that at McDonald's, right? Back then, now, some of you are old enough to remember this. Back then, what? You could get, in 1980, I could go to DQ, Dairy Queen, for you or uneducated. Dairy Queen, I could get a Coke, fries, hamburger, and a sundae for under $2. For under $2. Now they have that same kind of setup, only it's $5. And they just came up with that recently, by the way. And those of you that haven't gone and done that, I'm sure you'll rush up there and you tell them I sent you and it won't help you any, but maybe they'll remember me. And so $12 went a lot further than it does today. Understand that. It went a lot further than it does today. And I remember, and those kids needed shoes. Every one of my kids wound up having to have glasses. Every one of them. Then me and Ruth too. Our whole family had to have glasses. And you know how kids are. They're always going to the hospital for something. We were better off than some. But I remember the time Debbie slammed one of the doors in the house on James's finger and cut the tip of his finger almost completely off. Had to rush him down the hospital. Then one day Debbie was riding her bike down the hill and Bob had a rope across the sidewalk. He said he was going to drop it. But she was smarter than what he thought. When he didn't drop it, she just ran right into him. Split his eye wide open. She wrecked, had a big goose egg on the head, off the hospital we got. Now, man, we had all those things. Wintertime, Ohio, in 1977 or 8, or 76 or 77, it never got above zero for a month. A month. Nobody likes to live like that, let me tell you. That's a cruddy way to live. You ought never to move to Ohio. I remember, I think it was January, February, laying out underneath a 1980 Ford Fairmont that had a standard shift and taking the transmission out because my kids had messed the clutch up. I ran through one clutch per kid. Winter, snow blowing underneath the car. You know why I did that? It wasn't because I enjoyed it. It was because I could not afford to take it somewhere and have it worked on. I remember those times. But Ruth and I, we lived our life with the idea that this was a joy. We never thought about taking it away from God. By the way, if you do, and it doesn't matter your outlook. I don't care. It doesn't matter your outlook. You can say, well, you know, I just don't agree with tithing. I don't believe we should tithe. Okay. I just give you the words of God. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Okay, and pour you out a blessing. Okay, we'll turn that one off and turn this one on. See? Here's the statement that really gets a lot of people because when I apply it, you won't like what I say. Go ahead, rob God in your tithe and in your offering. Go ahead, rob God. It reveals your heart. Nobody's saying amen. Yeah, I just thought, Ruth, would you say amen for me, please? She said no. she's not always like that. Sometimes she's cooperative. I know all the reasons. You need your money. You need to pay your bills. You need to buy your house. You need your car. You know, you need a vacation. But God sees the heart. And he says, you're a thief. Well, that's a matter of the heart. It's revealed in your giving. You see, When you fall in love with Jesus, He gets it all. This occasion of the widow making her way to the temple to give all she had tells about her heart. You see, giving is always a matter of the heart, and it can only be measured by your heart, and it reveals the condition of your heart. I find it matters very little what I say or even what the Bible says if your heart is wrong. What kind of heart do you have? Oh, there's one last question. I just have to ask this. Will you be happy with it in eternity? Will you? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and thank you. I thank you for these men and women who have made this effort to be here today. And I pray that your truth will be so real to us that we would apply it to ourselves. That we would not look at anyone else, apply it to anyone else, or say that person doesn't do this and that person doesn't do that. But we will ask ourselves the question, whether our hearts are what you'd have them to be. Now we know that Jesus died for us and gave his life that we could have life. And we know that the gift of salvation is free. That you have provided it for anyone and everyone who would turn to you and ask you to forgive them. But we also know that your truth cuts like a sword into the heart, according to the writer of Hebrews. And Father, may your truth cut in our hearts, and may your Spirit reveal what we need. Oh God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.